I'd like to call this April 10th, 2012 meeting of the Monroe City Council to order. Edie, roll call, please.
Councilperson Gary.
Here.
Cuddeback.
Here.
Williams.
Here.
Camp. Davis.
Present.
Gamble.
Here.
Hanford.
Present.
Mayor Zimmerman is stuck in traffic and will be here.
Sure.
And so is Jim and Councilmember Camp, and so they should be here shortly. Would you please join me for the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
This time is set aside for comments from citizens. Time for you to speak to City Council on any issue, except a quasi-judicial matter subject to a public hearing. We have one person signed up tonight, Mr. Byron Neff. Come on up, give us your name and address for the record, please. Thank you.
My name is Byron Neff. I live at 531 Terror Street, Monroe. And I'd like to take this moment to thank the council for hearing me. And the concern I have is, I guess there's an ordinance in the city of Monroe about yard ways and parking and stuff like that in people's yards, to where if the council or someone would come down and look at my house and sit in my yard with me and tell me that I have to look at someone's vehicles parked in their yard to where I can't even enjoy my yard. And I did come up and I talked with the community service officer or the code enforcement officer on it, and she was aware of the situation and that, yes, there is an ordinance and that she's been trying to get it updated. And I think, in my opinion, if we have pride in our community written on our vehicles, and I do take pride in this community, I love this community, I love the police, the fire department, they do an outstanding job. But when you have to look at something like that, and I can't enjoy my yard or having people come over, and I even talk to them and say, hey, can you clean it up? No. And she says her hands are tied, but I think this is something that needs to be addressed. And I'm not knowing if I'm the only one that has ever come up here to say something, but maybe in the future, I know you guys got other ideas, plans and stuff, that maybe we can look at this. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Oh, one other thing. Please, I have pictures here if you wanted to take a look.
Please. Pictures to keep, or would you like those back at the?
No, you can keep them. I have other copies and stuff, but you know, just take a look. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I don't have anybody else signed up, but as always, if anybody else would like to speak before council this evening, is there one more?
I don't know if this was an error. When we get to that, I guess we can check.
Oh, gotcha. Okay, gotcha. I'm sorry. And if anybody else would like to speak, as always, the podium is open for anybody else. We just ask you your name and record, name and address for the record. All right. We will move on to the agenda then, to business and action items. The first item on our agenda this evening, under announcements and presentations, is confirming the mayor's appointment for a new ethics board member. And I believe council should have a sheet, loose sheet in front of you. Brian Vick is the mayor's appointment for the for one of the open positions on the ethics board. I would entertain a motion to approve the mayor's appointment for the ethics board.
So moved.
And I'll second the councilman. Motion made by Councilmember Hanford, seconded by Councilmember Cuddeback, to approve the mayor's appointment for the new ethics board member. Councilmember Cuddeback.
Thank you. I spoke with Gene Brazel today. It would help me when we get to confirm the mayor's appointment if we have more detail. I suggested that we have you know, just a, even if it's a half-page sheet saying name, address, you know, what your work position is, career, or just a few more informational points so that we can kind of look at that and you know, appoint or approve. So Gene did tell me there was a process, so I'm not sure if we want to look at that process and then help the city, you know, make sure that we're following that process.
Councilmember Hanford.
I totally agree with you, Councilor Kovac. The reason I am moving forward with Brian is because I have now a business relationship loosely and feel comfortable with that. But I totally support what you're saying.
And that helps to know a little bit more detail and to know information, and maybe there's a point where council members can share information they might know about the candidate or the proposed person, and we share that information because that does help.
All right, so you know the lights. I'll call for the question. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed? Motion carries 6-0. All right, and now's the time for a public hearing. This public hearing is with regard to the establishment of a transportation benefit district. And let me open up the sheet here. And that is Brad. So Brad, I'm going to kick it off to you.
Okay. Thank you. All right. The Transportation Benefit District is a quasi-municipal corporation with independent taxing authority. In the case of a transportation benefit district that only includes a city, the district board is made up of the city council acting as an independent body. The Monroe City Council is considering the formation of a transportation benefit district. As a result of previous discussions, city staff was directed to schedule the public hearing required to be held prior to the formation of a transportation benefit district for tonight, and to bring forward for consideration an ordinance to create the Monroe Transportation Benefit District, following the criteria set forth by the council. This includes the ability of the Monroe Transportation Benefit District to fund maintenance and preservation projects, as well as new transportation improvements, and also requiring voter approval of any new fees or taxes. As required to be included in the formation ordinance is a list of possible capital transportation projects to be funded. These projects are included in Attachment A of the proposed ordinance. And there's 10 of them. And just real briefly, there are the Turning Place extension from Chain Lake Road to Woods Creek Road, a signal at the intersection of Woods Creek Road and the proposed Journey Place, a signal at 179th Avenue and 147th Street, a signal at Freilands Boulevard and 146th Street, the Hill Street extension, Freilands Boulevard and Tye Street signal, a 179th Avenue and 154th Street signal, the Oak Street widening behind Albertsons from Woods Creek Road to Old Owen Road, a signal at that intersection of Old Owen Road and Oak Street, and then the Woods Creek Road pedestrian improvements from where the sidewalk ends adjacent to Safeway up to the trail that goes up to the farm at Woods Creek. These projects are listed in order of priority based mainly on the estimated number of 2025 p.m. peak trips that are affected by that project, and also the anticipated improvements to intersections levels of service. If you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them prior to opening the public testimony portion of the hearing.
Councilmember Cuddeback.
Thank you. Brad, the attachment A that lists the 10 projects, where does that come from? My assumption was it came from the 2007 transportation plan.
It comes from the 2007 transportation plan, except for the Hill Street extension, which is basically replacing the Blueberry-Kelsey intersection improvements with that new road.
Okay. So replacing the Blueberry Lane extension, what type of public process is needed to, like, so the transportation plan, the 2007 one, it's 2007 to 2026. Is that the time frame of the plan, somewhere around
there? Well, I mean, it's part of the comprehensive plan, which is 2005 to 2025, but is to be updated in 2015.
Okay. So those other nine other projects went through a public process and in developing that plan, but Hill Street didn't go through that process. Do we need to do anything, as it's included in this attachment A, to go through some sort of a process to include it in this attachment?
Yep.
I've had some of those questions out in the community.
Two things is, one is that this is part of the public process here with the public hearing tonight.
Right.
The other one is that we are not able to actually construct that project until it is added to the transportation plan and the comprehensive plan.
Okay.
So prior to being done, that process will have to take place.
Okay, so that's I guess what I want to make sure. So even though we list it on here, it's still going to be added on the transportation
right.
plan.
You can't spend the money on it until it's added to the plan.
Until it's added onto the plan
correct.
First and goes through the process.
Right.
Okay,
yes.
That's all I wanted to make sure is that it went through the same process as the other projects.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's no bulldozers idling out there right
now. Well, you got to get the money first.
Yeah.
I understand. Yeah. But I just want to make sure it had the same public process that the other projects did.
Right.
That was my only question. Thank you.
All right, seeing no other lights, we'll open the public testimony portion of the public hearing. If any member of the public would like to speak to council with regard to the formation of a transportation benefit district in the city of Monroe, now is your opportunity to do so. And please give your name and address for us.
Hi, my name's Joel Phillips. I live at 505 Circle Drive, and I'm not for the the Hill Street expansion, because if you look at that property, you can easily put an arena type building there, and you could have like soccer games that are not dictated by the weather or what forth that you I'm sorry, I'm just getting over a little cold today, so it'd just be a bad idea to put that pass through right there. Plus you'll be having neighbors on the other side that would be listening to constant traffic going back and forth, and that's all what I have to say about that. So thanks.
Thank you, Joel.
Jeff Rasmussen, 16655 150th Street Southeast, and just talk briefly about the proposed transportation district, TBD. I had just been started to read up about this and or about the proposal here, and you know, I gotta be honest, I'm very intrigued and very much in favor of the concept. And I loosely was somewhat involved with the Snohomish TBD recently, as far as my profession being over there and working with the city leaders there, and got to know a little bit about their process. And the thing I liked about their idea, and I hope that it is something that would be considered here, or I know it's being considered here, but given more stronger consideration, is the way it's funded. My understanding is that the options of the vehicle tax, force tax, or voter tax, licensing fees, and so forth, that's kind of still up in the air at this point, is my understanding. If it is, great. I would just encourage everyone to really consider looking at the sales tax aspect of it. To me, it makes more sense, especially as our city grows and we draw people from outside of Monroe. It makes only that much more sense that they share in the cost of our street improvements and so forth like that. So I haven't run the numbers myself. I'm sure our finance director would be able to give you a better information about that, as far as what's going to be better in the long run as far as sales tax or vehicle registration. But I know in speaking with Snohomish, their civic leaders, they found that based off of in their situation, it was much more profitable and easier to get the funds based off of the sales tax increase versus the licensing tab increase. So I just encourage, make it fair for everyone that uses our roads. And I look forward to seeing more of this. So, thanks.
Thanks. Anybody else who would like to speak with regard to the Transportation Benefit District? All right, seeing no one else, I'll entertain a motion to close the public testimony portion of the public hearing.
So moved.
Second.
Moved, motion made by Councilmember Williams, second by Councilmember Hanford. To close, Councilmember Gamble. To close the public testimony portion of the public hearing. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Council, any other further questions for Brad? And Brad, what action would you be looking for this evening other than closing the public hearing?
Have a public hearing, and if you want to point staff in any particular direction that has changed as a result of testimony you received, we'd be happy to receive that.
And there's like Councilmember Williams.
Thank you. I don't see the section in here where we talked about whether we were going to put license taxes before public vote.
The ordinance section number, whereas is government board, functions of district, which is 12.40.030. The board shall have and exercise all powers and functions provided by the RCW, except the ability to impose taxes, fees, charges, and tolls, not requiring the approval of voters.
So that, in effect, gives us the ability to do a sales tax, not a license.
You can do a license too, but it has to go out to the voters.
That's what we'd ask for before. So that speaks to Mr. Rasmussen's comments as well. So thank you.
And if we could let the record show that Councilmember Camp got here at 7:16. Councilmember Gamble.
Councilmember Williams said exactly what I was. So
great.
It's good.
Okay. Do you have what you need?
I have what I need.
Great.
We'll be back next week.
Is there a motion to close the public hearing?
So moved.
Second.
Motion made by Councilmember Gamble, second by Councilmember Cutterback to close the public hearing. Seeing no lights, all those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. All right, on to final action. Lift hiring freeze and authorize the filling of two seasonal parks positions. And that is Mike.
Thank you. The Indian Council also bringing this back as you requested. There were a couple of questions for information that you raised last week, and one of them I addressed in the cover sheet that I conservatively estimate that I would need to schedule 10 overtime work days looking through between the months of May and August, and that would be it. If I had to pay the overtime, would be a total expenditure of approximately $5,000. So that kind of plays into my request for seasonal help. And then there was another question about where this expenditure would come from. And so I mentioned last week I consulted with the finance director and did that again. And so where this would come from would be that the undesignated ending fund balance. For 2012, the adopted budget has an undesignated ending fund balance of $287,000, and they're considered available funds that have not been allocated for any specific expense. There's going to be a budget amendment that will be brought to council in May, and there will be some items, other requests from that fund, and that would leave a balance of $94,500 in the general fund designated ending fund balance. So this could be taken from that undesignated fund balance.
Councilmember Cutterback.
Diane, with those budget amendments, did any of those, because Mike didn't list kind of what those were, we had gotten a memo about the liquor. That's in the budget amendment, so that's already included in getting it down to the 94.
Okay. Yeah, it's
that was one of my biggest concerns when we had gotten that email, and that would be a change to our budget. So.
Yeah.
3,000 of them from Park Santa cans because they were cut out of the budget when we were doing all the slashing and we forgot to put them back in.
Okay.
3,500 is for the US-2 Safety Coalition contribution that was approved earlier by council this year. 94,000 is for the loss of liquor revenues.
Okay.
And 92,000 is for the loss of the Walmart permit fees if the lawsuit goes through.
If it doesn't go through this.
Yeah.
Is there anything else that you foresee coming up? I know.
Probably later this week, I'm going to be sending out an email to all the department heads asking if they have anything else, but I don't.
At this time, you don't know.
Anything else.
Okay, thank you.
Councilmember Gehring, thank you. Call myself. Budget amendment. So essentially, we're going to ask for it now, but the budget amendment is going to cover the money that you're asking for. I think that's what I just heard. Is that
the undesignated fund balance?
From the undesignated fund. I'm not an undesignated fund balance guy. Not my favorite thing, as I've said before. But you're going to be asking for an amendment to include this in the budget in May, which is essentially how we're paying for what you're asking for tonight. And in May, use the X amount of money based on the items that you just listed. Just trying to recap what I just heard.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Councilmember Cutter first? Okay.
So Dan, just clarify, the 15 that Parks is asking comes out of that 94 at the end because it's not included in the app.
Yeah.
Just wanted to make sure that was clear. So it's not in the budget amendments they just listed, it's after that. So the 15 comes out of the 94. So then it gets the undesignated funds down to
79.
Thank you, Matt.
I appreciate that clarification. Thank you. Councilmember Williams.
Thank you. A few weeks ago, we had a discussion about adding positions, I believe, in the planning department. We voted to postpone that just because we didn't have the funds available, and we were talking about taking it out of proceeds from the sale of property, which may not happen, or one of the other options floated was the undesignated fund. And at that time, the council's mood was not to touch that money because we're already behind on where we should be for that reserve fund policy. So I'm just curious as to why this would be looked at differently. I guess I'm asking Mike. I understand.
Well, I laid out, I believe, in the cover sheet addressing that in the bang for the buck that we're getting for $15,000, we would be getting two people for 4 months each, 40 hours a week of labor that is needed in our park system. So as far as comparing it to the planning full-time equivalent position, there's no comparison.
Okay. Thank you. Councilmember Cutterback.
One reason that I see it as a little bit different than coming with permanent planning is because when we were doing the budget last fall and into December, a few of us up here purposely said, we can't fill that third position right now, but come back with seasonal, and depending on how the budget is doing, we will look at doing a seasonal position. That's from my memory. We had filled two positions. The third one that was vacated, we left vacated. We said we're not going to do that at this moment, but come back for and ask for seasonal positions. So I guess my question to Diane is, I understand all the undesignated fund, and I see the quarterly report. I don't see how we're doing, I see what percentage of the budget of it, but how are we doing year to date? Where are we off in revenue? Are we over in expenses? Where are we right now?
We are right on target with expenses, and we are real close with revenues. It's still a little early to tell with revenues because we haven't received any of the property tax revenue. And that will get the lion's share in April and May. And I'm a little concerned that sales tax isn't looking better in the first quarter.
Okay. Are we on target for budget for sales tax, or are we under?
I can't remember the exact percentage. Do you have a copy of the quarterly report there?
Yeah, year to date it says we're at 24.9% of budget for sales tax, but
that's 25%, yeah.
So
I actually would like to be a little bit more than 25% in the first quarter simply because Christmas sales we get in February. So I actually like to be a little bit more than 25%. But all the economists say that things are going to be sluggish for most of this year, but they expect things to pick up. Now, these are economists talking, so, but they expect things to pick up at the last quarter of this 2012. So it just depends on how optimistic you feel. What I'm trying to say is we're just doing okay.
We're doing okay. We're hanging in there. Somewhat of a budget, but it doesn't look like we're exceeding in revenue and expenses.
Yeah, nothing's drastic any one way.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Is that all?
Yeah. Thank you.
Councilmember Gamble.
Thanks, Mike, for putting the overtime stuff in there.
Sure.
The questions that I have, because I remember the conversation, budget time, you know, all that kind of stuff. The thing that I'm looking at is that, so if I'm doing just kind of your rough math here, right, we're looking at a five-month time period from April to August, right? So you're averaging about $3,000. You're predicting about $3,000 a month, right, for the total $15,000 cost of the budget, right? So if I'm...
Yeah, based it on, yeah.
Okay, so we're saying that, you're saying that, so the cost of the budget, you're predicting what it's going to... To meet minimum service levels, we're going to have to do at least $5,000 of overtime. That's what I'm hearing, about $1,000 a month, right?
Yeah, that's what I'm looking at between the months of May and August.
So I guess the one thing, you know, the alternative to just to take it or leave it, you know, type of approach would be, you know, how would we, you know, could we get away with, you know, 1 or 2 months where we run the overtime, but we don't run the positions, and we save it for, you know, a full quarter of running those positions. The reason why I'm looking at it, if you did that, you'd be at about $3,000 worth of overtime versus $9,000 of total for the two positions, and the delta is only about $6,000 for what we're going to spend. You see where I'm, you know, kind of going with that? I'm just a little hesitant, and I agree with the comments, I think it was Councilmember Williams was talking about it, kind of like as far as knowing what we know now about what might not be there. Would we be prudent to kind of, you know, manage it, you know, a little tighter and not say no, but from the standpoint of, hey, let's work the first couple months, or you tell us, you know, what are the months you absolutely, we got to have this, because that difference is the service level, right? And I get that.
Yeah, and that's what I looked at. We're in April. It's rough and tough right now, but I looked at May through August, those months. And so, you know, I could understanding what we're trying to do here, I could look at it, bring it back, you know, again, if we looked at it. But we do want to make a point that it's not necessarily as far as our service level and whatnot about those 10 days that I identified. I mean, this affects the 7 days of the week during this entire, you know, 4 or 5 month period of lax in service. I mean, they're definitely wearing many hats, just piling on with the duties, and we're also reprioritizing and just missing things and intentionally missing things, and then there's the unintentional. On that note, I added in there just for your information about what we would need to do if we had to, you know, refund a shelter, restoration, or a field, but I cannot predict that those things are just, you know, inevitably may happen, and then we just deal with them after it happens.
Yeah, I'm sure, you know, a piece of this is vacation coverage.
Sure, people get sick as well. You know, so, yeah, it's... Yeah.
Councilmember Gary, thank you. I wasn't the undesignated fund. When it comes to a full-time, long-term position, pretty clear that that's, I'm not in favor of spending that money on those kind of things. This really is different to me. That this is a temporary thing. This is more kind of what that money generally would be spent on. I'm a little nervous about having $79,000 left after another budget amendment that's coming. Still $79,000 there, and we just have no idea. I mean, there's no idea to predict, you know, what could come in the next 8 months of the year. But I also see the benefit of having these positions is huge, and making sure these events, you know, run smooth. This brings money into the city. This helps having the tournaments and having them run smoothly, all these events, you know, brings back people back year after year after year. So it's, you're paying something now to make sure that you continue to receive these benefits later. So in that way, I feel good about supporting this. I don't, unless there is another way to pay for it out of some sort of some park budget, I don't know that there. I mean, we couldn't fill one of the positions, we chose not to, so it doesn't sound like we can't use maintenance or capital funds to do things like this. I'm going to assume that we can't use those.
We've stretched as far as we can.
This is pretty much the only way that we're going to be able to do it if we're going to do it. And I see the value of doing it. We will still have some left. Not thrilled about doing it, but I think the long-term benefit of making sure this happens pays for itself later. And so I can support moving forward with this to see myself.
If I could ask, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to
interrupt. Yeah, no.
Councilman Gary made a great point, kind of with the question when you're asking about other positions. Yeah, there is that difference of this. These are temporary positions. There's no strings attached. When the term's up, it's over. It's not an ongoing thing. I would need to come back and make another request next year or something, you know, or put a budget request in. So that is a big difference.
Council, any other comments? No? Councilmember Cutback.
Thank you. Well, here, I'll make the motion. Motion to lift hiring freeze and authorize filling two seasonal parks maintenance positions.
Second.
Hanford. Exactly. Right at you. Motion made by Councilmember Cutback, seconded by Councilmember Hanford to lift hiring freeze and authorize filling two seasonal parks maintenance positions. Seeing no lights, we'll call for the question. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes 7-0.
Thank you.
Very good. Let's see if we can... Oh, we have an executive session. Otherwise, I'd say we could probably get done before the mayor gets here. We're going to continue in order. We do need an executive session now, or do you want to... At this time, we do have the need for an executive session. This is pertaining to the pricing of property. And Administrator Brazel is going to read the permit for RCW.
RCW 42.30.110C, to consider the minimum price at which real estate would be offered for sale or lease.
And the executive session will last approximately
10 minutes.
Approximately 10 minutes. Appreciate everybody having a 10-minute break. Councilmember Gamble.
I move to authorize the mayor to transmit a notice of sale offer to Galaxy Cinemas in accordance with the terms and conditions recommended by staff.
Second.
Motion made by Councilmember Gamble, seconded by Councilmember Cutback. Heard the motion made by Councilmember Gamble with regard to an offer to Galaxy. Any questions, Council? Seeing no lights, we'll call for the question. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Motion carries 7-0. Thank you. All right, that ends our business portion of the meeting this evening. We will quickly recess and reconvene in study session. Welcome to study session. The item that was on the agenda is to be rescheduled. So item number one, we have departmental reports. We have Councilor NC 3 reports that were included in our packet this week. Wastewater Finance Report 1, Food Finance Report 2. And we can go through each one of those. Is there somebody here for each one? Oh, and there's an insert. So I'll go ahead and do that. We're at Wastewater Treatment Plant report.
All right, thank you. Good evening. Sorry about the delay. That was an experience to was that experience to forget?
For sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Wastewater treatment plant. Anything to add on that?
Just it's going real well down there, and then you're still all invited to come down and take a tour of the fun and exciting things that are going on down there.
Yeah,
it's coming above ground now. So there's, you know, besides the big holes. So. They'll be starting to work on buildings pretty soon. So,
all right.
Brad, if we wanted to go tour it again, who would we
set that up?
I talked to John Randy.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you have to enter from Terrace Street now, right? There's not the, you can't go in right from the end of Sam's. They've got a block. There's a sign there now.
Well, there's usually a track code sitting there. So
yeah, there's, they got a block in there. You used to be able to keep going that way.
All right. Anything else? Any other questions with regards to the wastewater treatment plant? Oh, Councilor Gamble. Thank you. I've been looking at taillights all day. I just had one question. Brett, on the, I was just trying to get the difference between the pending and potential change orders. So is the pending, because we've got a bunch of them that are in negotiation. Does it go from in negotiation to pending? Is that how it works?
Yes. So potential, they talk about it, then pending.
So
the paperwork gets done, and then it's a real change order.
Okay, so on the potential or in negotiation, it might not be that dollar amount.
Correct.
Okay, I wanted to make sure that I had the progress right.
Okay.
All right. Okay. All right. Ms. Grant, we'll move on. Looking at the report specific to the property tax, 2012 property tax distribution.
This month, this April, people will be paying their property taxes, and often they complain, so please take a look at this property tax distribution so that when you hear complaints from people, you can tell them that the city only gets 10% of that property tax that they're paying, and it's a great bang for their buck, because for from that 10%, you get parks, police, streets, you know, all the city services, all the special events and everything, whereas all the other districts, they're a single service district, and they're taking big chunks of the property tax, so I like people to know that actually it's a good value for their dollar with the property tax and what they're getting for the city of Monroe portion. And those average assessed values I got from the county, if you're looking down at the very bottom.
Councilman, could
you ask? Oh, thank you. I was just going to ask, is this on the website that people can access and look at?
I had Sherry put it on, it's on the finance page.
Okay, great, thanks.
When I first saw this chart, I looked at the Monroe School District and saw 42% thought, oh my word. Not that you had this answer, but for folks to understand that property taxes is and some impact fees, but mainly property taxes is the only revenue source that the school district has, correct?
Correct, yeah.
So you see 42%, you think, you know, still a major bite, but unlike the city that has, impact fees and permit fees and, you know,
we have other sources. Other we have sales tax and all. Yeah, the state, they get money from the state. The schools get money from the state school fund and the property tax, basically.
Okay, anything else from council with regards to that report? All right, how about our donations tracking report? Oh, Councilor,
I was going to say, in light of your comments on, you know, educating, because the levy rate went up, but the actual taxes paid went down. Some people get fixated on levy rates.
Okay. Donations tracking report. Anything to add to that?
No, just our general, usual donations.
Everybody see the quarterly report? Did you pass that out to everyone?
I put it in my mailbox. Yes.
Something important with regards to that report. I had a question with before Diane today was that our expenditures at present are exceeding our revenues, but that is because our property tax portion has not come in yet. We expect that to be
about $800,000,
which will bring us back in line with our projected revenues. Jeff, anything to report or add to?
No. A couple of things, I guess. Two big buildings in the room have been in for pre-ops, the CERT building and the Old Ford dealership, so both of them are pending and under contract. Emerald City Fitness is opening here shortly, not already, I believe, and a lot of activity going on around town. Lots of engagement. Paul Popelka has been engaged with downtown as part of our comp plan update, so that process is continuing to work with the downtown business folks. Other than that, just very, very active with, you know, the real estate transactions around town.
I think in light of what you just said and the report that Diane sent out earlier on a quarter report, if you take what our permits and our business licenses, we're tracking to exceed all levels, I believe, going back as far as 2006. So we are, if I did my math correctly, we're doing exceedingly well in those two areas. And those are major indicators as to how the economy is doing here. A lot of that is due to the number of changes, improvements, enhancements that we've made, as well as participation and input from the city. Jeff?
And 3 months does not a trend make, but the real estate excise tax revenues are at 60% annual in the first quarter. And it looks like they bottomed out last year and are starting to neck back up again. And with the large transactions that are probably going to take place this year, I expect to see real estate excise tax exceed in revenue projections substantially this year.
You spoke of the CERC building, and the new ownership of that building will be in town next week. We'll be meeting with them. Jeff and I will be meeting with the sole owner of that company. That company is projected to bring 350 jobs, manufacturing, to Mineral. So some exciting things going on. All right. Chief, anything? Thanks, Jeff.
Yeah.
Ben, anything? Administrative rattle.
Thank you. Draft agenda for April 17th, 2012. We have proclamation, Building Safety Month. We have our consent agenda, and under new business, we have the ordinance for the Transportation Benefit District, the first reading. Number two is authorized mayor to sign senior center ground lease extension. Number three is first airfield comprehensive plan amendment. Number four is East Monroe comprehensive map. Comprehensive plan amendment. Number five is ordinance for Roosevelt Ridge pre-annexation zoning. That's the first reading. Under final action, we have an ordinance amending the Parks Code, first and final reading, and the draft agenda for April 24th, 2012. The additions or deletions?
Well, I apologize. It took us to 1 minute or 2 minutes past 8 o'clock. Unless there's anything that council would like to add or take action on tonight, Councilmember Carroll.
Thank you. Sorry, I didn't want to hold people up, but the Snohomish County Health District released their third part of the series on Healthy Aging Report, and it's got some interesting information. It's on their website. But just one fact is the county's population 50 years and older has increased 52% between 2000 and 2010 and will constitute one-third of the county's population by 2015. So, I'm not looking at it. But just interesting data, and I suggest you kind of, when you have time, just take a look at it. It's on their website, or you can ask me for a copy. I'd be happy to give it to you.
Data that you won't relate to for many decades, and the rest of us are...
Don't flatter.
In like
older.
Yeah. All right. Okay. With that said, then we will now be adjourned. Yeah. Well, that was the best one you know.